It's Wednesday, April 10th. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. Just rascal behaviour going on here. What have you done? You've hid Loz's cut.
I just thought, you know what? He wants to play these childish games. Well, two can play that. So I've hit his cup, and I know what was happening. He was fossing around everywhere, and then he questioned himself, and where did I put it, and where is it? And then he'll get another cup, and he'll come back in and say nothing.
He reckons sure he was enough, all over it. From
right
all
on
over it. No, you're all, right, I certainly was. I knew straight away. Why else would I know when I put the cup down, as I do every morning if I go to the bathroom, in a little spot, and you're behind me, and I come back out. You were no longer there, and my cup was no longer there.
Who would have thought Laurie's got a cup space routine?
I said, it's 7:10. He's still up there fussing around trying to find it.
I knew exactly what you
anyway, you enjoy your coffee, Laurie.
No coffee. It's a water. Okay. Bulldog. I've already had a few coffees this morning.
Morning, Cookie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Really well, thanks. And thanks for joining us. I'm sure a tough couple of days. What were the reasons that Jason Demetrio gave to you for being 18th man this week?
Yeah, it has been tough. But, you know, it's just, you know, obviously changes needed to be made. And he needs me to be better. And that's what he needs from me, to keep working harder. So that's, for me, that's all I can do is keep trying to improve at training, keep working on what I need to. And try and get back in that side. But, you know, this weekend it'll be tough to sit there and watch. But you know, like, there's a couple of exciting players. One getting his debut, who I'm really looking forward to watching this weekend. You know, I was excited. I was hoping to get a chance to play alongside, and I'm sure I will at some stage. But looking forward to his debut this weekend.
Do you feel as though you've been made a scapegoat, though, Cookie?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it's just as leaders of the team. We're not winning at the moment. We need to lead the way, and we mustn't be doing a good enough job in that. And so that's why we've got to make some changes. So now I've got to. That's like I said before. All I can do for me is just focus on my game, where I can be better. Keep working with the coaches and training harder, and keep working harder to get back there. Because I know I've got more to give. I feel like I was building into this season, this early round, and I'm confident I'll be back. I just need to get what I need to do, get right.
Yeah. And was it a surprise when you got told yesterday, or has it been coming? Has the coach give you regular feedback and been telling you that these are the areas that you need to work on, otherwise there could be consequences?
We always have, like, talk to the coaches throughout each week. You know, we do like spine meetings, stuff like that, and or tips here and there, small conversations about where to improve. But no doubt yesterday, shocked me. It was quite a tough day, but for me it was, I can't sit there and mope around. I need to make sure I trained really well yesterday and gave the team this week some really good opposition to train against to get them ready for this week. So it was one of those days, but yeah, it was obviously a tough conversation in the morning, but then felt like I got on well with the job and did what I needed to do yesterday.
And what do you need to do to get back into that team then, mate? Do you play this weekend, or is it just a matter of not playing this weekend, come back and just try and work on stuff at training and then hopefully get another chance at some point in time?
Yeah, I'm not too sure how it works, because I don't think I'm named in reserve grade either. So I'm not sure if it means if I'm still eligible to play for them or how it works. But I think I was named the 18th man, so I'll be on the extended bench there. So other than that, we go into the bye next week too. So you know, if I don't play first grade or reserve grade this week, all I can do is try and prove myself at training, because that's the only way I'll be able to get back in there in the next couple of weeks.
Cookie, are you angry? And if you're not angry, why aren't you angry?
No, of course I'm angry. I'm frustrated, angry. I was sad, all the emotions, I guess, yesterday. Because I do want to be out there on the field and give my best for my team to try and get us out of where we are. We're in a bit, a couple of losses this year. Not the best start to the season. I just want to be out there helping them doing my part to get us out of here, because that's the only way we can do it, is just keep working harder and harder and keep trusting what we're doing to dig our way out of it. And, that's probably why I'm probably a bit angry and frustrated, because I just want to be out there with them trying to help.
Cookie, I get JD needs or wanted to make changes, but do you find it an insulting decision given you are a State of Origin player?
Oh, look, I was a State of Origin player last year, centre and hooker, double position there.
utility.
So utility, I guess. But, you know, that was last year. So, you know, I even believe everything with State of Origin, you know, it's got to be, you got to pick the side each year on who's playing really well. And, you know, I'm sure that's what Madge will do this year as well. But, you know, I was a State of Origin player last year. You got to earn that jersey back. And you got to do that by playing well for your club. So first, you know, my focus has got to be here at South Sydney and just making sure I get back in that side and play well of South Sydney and get us out of this hole. And, yeah, where we're at the moment is start to the season. So I don't think you can go off the back of, you know, last year's State of Origin series. Mm.
Everyone's scratching their head externally, internally, about what's going down at South Sydney. The coach is under pressure, and if we believe the reports in the paper, well, he's got 24 hours, but he's got one game to turn it around. And we spoke about it this morning. Like, the conversations and the talk coming out of the playing group all seems like you're on the same page, but why haven't you been able to transfer what you've been saying onto the field?
That's what's been probably the most frustrating part. Because we, you know, like I said last week, we've had really good weeks of training and nailed what we needed to do. And then it gets out in the park and just comes down to small moments in games where our resilience has just gone out the window. It was really good against the Dogs, and then just didn't back it up against the Warriors. We honestly thought after the Bulldogs game, you know, we're heading in the right direction now. We understand, and then it just didn't click again in the Warriors game, and we're just not having that resilience on our try line or back to silly errors as well. So it is frustrating. That's why the whole reason you just want to be out there trying harder to get these wins on the board, because we know the talent that we've got on the side. Something's just not clicking at the moment. But you know, hopefully, you know, the boys this weekend against the Sharks, you know, there's you know, a real good opportunity for us to go out and get a win and get some momentum again.
Cookie, the players that fronted up to the media yesterday said that Latrell had spoken to the playing group and essentially apologised for his actions on the weekend. Can you take us inside that meeting as to how Latrell was, his body language and what he said?
Oh, yeah, no, it was really good from him. You know, great leadership in a way as well. And he just addressed it. And I won't go into everything that he said, but he just, you know, pretty much told us he's just going to keep working harder and you know, we'll see us in 3 weeks and be back bigger, better and stronger. So, yeah, I thought it was good from him. But, you know, I saw some stuff about him not in love with the game. I seen a very positive attitude towards his game of how he trains and how committed he is to this side. So there's no doubt in that part either.
What about the new young fullback that's been selected this week, Dry Gray? What can you tell us about him?
Speed. He's very fast, great on his feet. He might be a little bit, you know, he's very strong as well. So
he doesn't look overly big from what I saw.
No, he's not too tall, but he's very strong and he can hold his own well. He's been holding his own at training very well against the first the NRL side. So like I said before, I was very excited when I heard he was having his debut before I knew that wasn't playing. I was looking forward to playing alongside him, but he's done some special things at training, and he's got great speed there, and I think he's gonna take the game on and just have some great X factor for us on our side. So really looking forward to him this weekend.
Cookie, your captain Cameron Murray, what did he say to you after you received the news? And just how's he responding generally amidst, I guess, all the scrutiny on the club?
He's good. He's got no emotions. So he's so well at holding it all together. I had a conversation with him after it. He was more just checking to see how I was. So more so as a mate, not so much as a captain, just checking in on me. So I appreciated that. But at the moment, you just see someone who's leading from the front, and that's what he's doing at the moment. But he's holding it all together really well, which I'm very proud of him. He's doing a great job there.
A cookie from an outsider looking in, Cam, to me, he looks tired, just emotionally and physically. It's been only 5 or 6 weeks into the season, but it's certainly been draining.
No, he's just got an 8-week-old at home. That's all that is. just learn the new life of being a dad, I think. He's working hard, and that's probably, if he is, like, to the outside looking in, it's probably because of the amount of work he's having to do, and we're making it hard for ourselves, and he's having to work extra harder for that. So
I wasn't being critical, Cookie, in any way. Yeah, it was more just he just looks weary through the work he's putting in on the field, and as Laurie, you know better than anybody, when you're captain and you go through these periods, it can be quite draining.
Yeah, no, I think he's going fine. I don't think he feels drained at all. That's probably just on him. But I think his energy's been great. His leadership around training's been great. I can't be proud of him. There's obviously been a lot of noise around the club, but I can't be proud of how he's leading us at the moment.
And Lachie Ilias, what an unfortunate incident suffer that broken leg as well in the New South Wales Cup. Have you spoken to him? Have you got an update on what his predicament is going forward?
I think he's just in for a couple of months to rehab. Probably ring him today and just see how he's going. But he's had the surgery and all that, so I'll just check in there. Because I think he's looking at I've seen mixed messages of how long the rehab is. It's still looking like a couple of months, I think, at least. So, but he's in good spirits when I spoke to him after it happened, which is a good sign.
Cookie, Laurie made a valid point this morning. It's very difficult to play for a coach who may have one game left.
That question, mate. Sorry.
I was speaking to Laurie this morning. He made a valid point that it must be difficult to play for a coach who may only have one game left. I mean, you read these stories, he's got one game left. Is it difficult to muster up, as professional as you can be, is it difficult to muster up the ability and energy to play for a coach who you think may not be there next week?
No, we've got to go out there and do a job for our club and our fans and ourselves, are we? That's all we're trying to do every week, is just trying to get better and better and go out there and get the job done. So no doubt we'll be, he's been working really hard around the clock, just as hard as we have to fix what's happening here. So we want to make sure we go out there and get the job done, not just for ourselves as, player and coach, but for the club as well.
Let's get a tip then, Cookie. Have you got something?
Well, I've got something for Saturday, Queen Elizabeth. I've gone Cascadian in that one.
Cascadian? Okay. Blue Army again.
Yeah, and then I've got Cam Smith to be top five.
In the Masters?
I wanted to say win last week, but I don't want to jinx him, so that's why I've kept it off that part.
You're right there.
Top five in the Masters. Win. Okay. Cam Smith for top five. I'll have to get a price here. He is $4.50. Oh, no, that's top 10. So for top five, he's $9 and $41 to win the Masters. Oh, well, great stuff, Cookie. And we appreciate it, mate. Again, as I said at the top, after I'm sure a tough 24 hours, and you're getting a lot of praise on our text line for speaking to us this morning as well. And we hope to see you back in that NRL side very soon, mate.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Keep training hard, Cookie.
We'll do, mate. Thank you.
Lots of response to Cookie coming on this morning. Damien Cook, what a champion. Gets dropped, still turns up to chat to you fellas. Not a Bunnies fan, but I think they're crazy not selecting him. Him and Murray would be my first bloke's pick, says T-Bone Todd. Morning, boys. Big South fan here. Let's not forget, amongst those losses last year, there was a terrible injury period, a New South Wales campaign. A lot of things went wrong. JD has had a tough trot. We're an ageing team. I think it's time to look to some youth. Latrell in the centres. Jack at 5'8". Let's go. No name to that one. Boys, tell Cookie when Wayne signs a para, he's welcome to come and win a premiership, says the Blue Mountains Panda. JD has dropped the wrong bloke. Cookie's all class. Pete from Belmont. I'm not a South supporter. Damien Cook, all class. On they go. So interesting to hear from Cookie just then. And we'll see how it all plays out for the Bunnies this week. Peter Memezelis gets the shot in the 9 jerseys, but a handful of games there. And they'll use Havili, won't they, as well as the backup hooker also. That's where we stand with Cookie and the Bunnies at the moment.
Is there a respect issue? And again, please don't think I'm having a crack at JD. I think he had to make some changes. But is there a respect issue, Loz, when you are dealing with an incumbent Origin player? Does he deserve to be shown respect? Or is JD at the point where he says, you know what, I don't care what their status is in the game, I'm making changes?
Oh, I think it doesn't matter who you are. You can always be dropped. And I asked a question to Cookie about, did he see it coming? Because in any organisation or any team, I reckon you've got a good idea if you're going to receive some bad news when it comes to team selection. Because the coach should be informing you each and every week about how you're travelling, areas of the game that need improving, and at some stage he'll say to you, listen, mate, we can't afford to keep carrying you if you're not doing X, Y, and Z. And then if you don't do that, then the following week you recognise that you're under the pump, and if you get dropped, you get dropped. But if it's a surprise to you, that's when alarm bells start to ring, and then you'd feel disappointed that you haven't been informed, and you feel like you've been isolated as such when you're playing in a team that's high profile and the possibility of other players not getting dropped that could be in that discussion as well. I'm just wondering, though, because we know that, you know, Luttrell's the biggest personality in that team, but who's the biggest voice outside of Luttrell?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Or Cody?
Well, after Cody, who's the next biggest voice? Because
Cam Murray?
Well, Cam, to me, doesn't seem like he's a guy that would have...
Get in your face and fire your face each other,
and,
right?
Yeah, and say, this is what demand. You need to do. Demand, yeah. Because all the sides that I played with, you had three or four, you know, and you didn't want to let them down more than anything else. But they would just demand that you do X, Y, and Z, and enough talking has been done. It's now through your action.
Matty Proud from the Swifts coming up shortly. Their season starts this weekend. Suncorp Super Netball is back. The Swifts have a tough trip away against the Sunshine Coast Lightning, who have a couple of very big-name recruits, including the Australian captain Liz Watson, Courtney Bruce as well. So they're a very powerful-looking side, the Lightning, but the Swifts are the slightest favourites with Tab to win it all. And, of course, they were runners-up last year. Oh, gee, it was a heartbreaking loss in the grand final to Adelaide by one goal after extra time. And great to have her on. New South Wales Swifts midcourter Matty Proud is joining us now. Morning, Matty. How are you?
Morning, guys. Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you on again. You're back. The season starts, and you won the pre-season comp last month as well, the Swifts. Describe how the team is shaping up for the season.
Yeah, look, we're really excited. I think, like you said, that there's still that little bit of burning heartache from that one goal loss in the grand final last year that we're sort of using as a bit of fuel to the fire. And, yeah, I guess we sort of set out a goal this year of making sure we won absolutely everything. And that was sort of starting with the pre-season tournament, which in the past is maybe something that, you know, you don't kind of go into with completely that mentality. But we thought this year, why not go for it all? So a good start so far. And, yeah, playing against a stacked Lightning team this Sunday. So it's going to be a great game.
We always ask. I know the Brisbane Broncos in the NRL went through it all off-season, how they dealt with the grand final in such a narrow defeat. How did you sort of address it? Was it just sort of left alone, or was it something you dealt with straight after the season?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a hard one in terms of you have the grand final, and then we literally had half our girls that were playing in the World Cup, like literally the next day, have to go into camp. So it was one of those things that almost as soon as the season finished, you all kind of had to go your separate ways. But, you know, as soon as we got back together as a group this year, it was something that, you know, you didn't want it being the elephant in the room, and you don't want to pretend it didn't happen. But you also know that it's a new year, and, you know, new things can happen, and there's been a lot of, you know, changes in other teams, and we've had a few little changes here and there as well. So it is that fine line between, you know, addressing it and moving on, but also not dwelling on it. So I think we've had that good balance of, yeah, not ignoring it, but also, yeah, just using it as that motivation for this year.
How much change has there been to the Swifts squad? And I guess a real positive is the return of Sam Wallace-Joseph, who's had horrendous injuries the last couple of years.
Yeah, we've been really lucky that we've pretty much kept almost the entire group together. We've sort of had one change with Lily Gorman-Brown coming in, who was a training partner for us for the last few years and actually played in that grand finals through injury to other players. And then, yeah, like you said, we've got the Venus flytrap in Sam Wallace-Joseph coming back, and she's just been, yeah, so excited. I mean, when you're on the sidelines for 2 years, I think if there's ever a bit of motivation or a bit of, you know, desperation to get out there, then she's the perfect example of that. And, you know, I think she's one of the best shooters in the world, and we're just so lucky to have her back on the court and can't wait to see what she can do.
Maddie, do you feel the competition this year is stronger than ever? And who is the team that you have your eye on most?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think with, you know, the number of changes that we had in the off-season, it sort of seems like there's these moments in time every few years when, you know, players go out of contract, that there's these kind of mass exoduses and big changes. And we've obviously got the new team in the Mavericks coming in this year as well. But I think I heard you talk about it earlier with the Lightning kind of getting some pretty good recruits in, you know, the Diamonds captain, the Diamonds vice captain. And, you know, they already have a pretty strong front line with Kara Koda and Steph Fretwell, who have been the Diamond sort of duo for a long time. So you kind of can't go past them. But, you know, you also look at the Thunderbirds, who, while they may have lost a couple of players in that off-season, they've still got probably the strongest defensive end with the kind of Jamaican duo of Wilson and Sterling. So, yeah, I think this year, I mean, I feel like I'm a broken record where you say that every year gets better. But I do really think that with the excitement of kind of what happened in the off-season, it's going to be, yeah, a really, really good one. And no one really knows what anyone's going to be like. So the unknown's always exciting too.
No, Maddie, great to speak to you this morning. And like in all sports, things change over a period of time. So in netball this year, are we expecting anything a little bit different maybe to style of play that you might play?
Yeah, I think we always talk about how, you know, the longer that this competition goes on in terms of becoming more professional, the more time that people have in the off-season, I guess that real kind of sports science element changes. Like even from us, you know, you analyse all your GPS data, and I feel like every year there's kind of new stats and new ways of training and kind of what you do in the gym, and you sort of see almost like, you know, the physicality of the game improve every year, whereas, you know, everyone gets stronger, everyone gets faster, and that kind of gap between, you know, the best and then the new ones coming in really does narrow. So then it's about, you know, finding new tactics and finding all those kind of little one percenters to change. So I think that'll probably be the biggest difference in that those close, I mean, we already have a lot of close games. I think we won over half our games by one goal last year. So I think we'll probably see those margins decrease across the board as well, as, you know, that difference between the top and the bottom really does start to decrease.
And just the sport generally, Maddie, you know, it always surprised us, you know, that there was some turmoil off the court in recent times. Naturally, a lot of sports went through turmoil, particularly in COVID and coming out of COVID. But how satisfied are the players now with how the game is being administered?
Yeah, I think, look, that whole process was a real moment in time for us. And I think netball has probably traditionally been known as kind of those good girls that just roll over and kind of take what they can get and are happy with, you know, whatever we receive. And I think it was sort of time for us, you know, on the back of the kind of Matilda's effect that had massive changes for women's sport. We thought, you know, we need to jump on that and kind of continue to be the front runners, because netball has been that number one female sport for so long that we needed to keep riding that wave. And so I think for us, it was really nice to see the playing group all bond together. And if anything, it's been a positive that we've come out more sort of united than ever. And yeah, we did kind of get the results that we wanted. And there's been a fair few changes at the top, and we've seen a lot of action being taken already. So I guess it's just about making sure we can continue that. And it's not just something that sort of gets said and gets agreed in one room on one day, but that you actually see kind of constant change and evolution, because yeah, I think the sport needs to keep evolving and innovating to stay at the front, because there are so many other sports that are, you know, clicking at the heels and you know, coming, you know, long ways as well, that we need to keep pushing forwards at the same time.
Maddie, you've had your own niggles. How's the body? And I assume that you'd love to be slowly sneaking your way back into Diamonds contention.
Yeah, so I had a little bit of a knee clean up in the off season, which I think for a netballer is never too rare with the way that we stupidly throw ourselves around the court, particularly when I play. But
I think we've just lost Maddie. Maddie, sorry, we lost you. We got you back.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're right.
No, body's feeling good and ready to go. And yeah, the knee's all raring to go. And we're looking forward to Sunday.
And, just the Sunshine Coast Lightning, first match away, and this will be a great marker as to really how the preseason has gone, as, well, they've got a very powerful-looking lineup.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's going to be a good one, I reckon.
Okay, well, go well. Appreciate your time, and have a great season.
No, we'll do. Thanks, guys. Good to chat.
Maddie Proud there from the Swifts, and just the overall market with Tab has the Swifts at $4.50. And then you got the Lightning, who they play this weekend, and the Melbourne Vixens, both at $5. So really tight at the top of the market. The Adelaide Thunderbirds are the defending champions at $7. West Coast Fever at $8. And GWS Giants Netball at $9. The new team, the Melbourne Mavericks, at $12. And the Queensland Firebirds, $15. So that is the Super Netball winner market for this season. Yes,
you know, with netball here in this country and with the collective bargaining agreement that just got settled too, by the way, last year, and the position that netball are in, you'd think that'd be a massive sport here in Australia.
Well, we know it is participation-wise.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So why don't they take advantage of that? And, like, they get big numbers turning up.
Get big crowds too.
Mm.
I don't know what the television ratings are like, but they're always getting...
Pretty good.
So why doesn't...
Well, I think that's why the players were fed up and why they bandied together and, you know, they obviously had the big blue with Netball Australia in regards to their collective bargaining agreement. Went through a lot of pain to get what they wanted because, as Matty Proud told us, we just saw all these other sports jump ahead, particularly with you know, female payment in particular. Yeah. Well, what the Matildas sort of did, and they had to jump on board and look after themselves.
And I'm not a great watcher of netball, but if it's on, I'll watch it. But there always seems to be massive crowds.
Mm.
There always seem to be, you know, people interested and engaged,
fast,
young girls.
Athletic.
Yeah. And on a Saturday morning, if you drive past where I live, the netball courts, mate, it's packed and packed all day. So I just wonder where that sport is at, and hopefully it'll grow, because I don't know how much more it can grow at the junior end.
For 26 million in terms of the Australian population, gee, we've got a lot of sport to choose from.
Oh,
we are crammed in the amount of selection and choice that we have. America's got the same choice, but they've got 330 million.
Exactly right.
We've got 26, and we're all clamoring for numbers, juniors, sponsorship, merchandise, all.
Bums on seats.
Bums on seats, all. I mean, even look at Sydney and rugby league. We've got 9 or 8.5 teams in Sydney.
Say it all the time, Bulldog. We are the most competitive sporting market in the world.
Mm.
When you consider population, the amount of professional sports, I think basketball as well, the four footy codes, cricket, netball. Find me another more competitive market in the world for the amount of professional teams we've got, the amount of sports to choose from, considering our population.
London would be the only one that might rival it.
You've got like that's a country, like London's what, a city of 8 million people in a country of 80 million. We just don't have that scale.
It's a miracle they all survive, isn't it?
100%. Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272. And just before we leave this, because we get a lot of texts on this, and I do wonder how the government can get involved, because you talk about, you know, mental health. There's no better way than getting, you know, kids involved in sport. And boys just listening, you're talking about the netball. Would love to hear from someone, Netball New South Wales. Can't get a reply myself about using parents as ATMs for their coffers. For context, daughter made a rep team, paid rego and uniform, $600 later. Now being told we need to pay another $130 for my daughter to enter the facility to play the games. What sports junior rep program charges their players to enter the venue to play the game that they charge the parents, etc., to watch? Been involved in junior reps in cricket and league, never had players have to pay entry to go and play. Do they charge the Swifts players to enter the venue to play?
Well, usually they get a pass. Like, I know with junior rugby league, you get a pass once you sign up as a registered player.
That does sound ridiculous.
$130.
You shouldn't be paying if you're already paid your $600, which covers your registration, and that'd be part of the facility's cost when you go around and play at every ground, I'm assuming, Bulldog, would it?
You'd imagine so, Loss. But even you could cop it was a $5 or $10 to enter the venue. But $130? Seems absurd.
Yeah, I get the parents have to pay a ticket in.
Yeah, but not that much.
No, but I that might be for the season too, by the way. But I still think once you pay your fees at the start of the year, you should be given a pass if you're the player that allows you access into that venue. I don't know whether they still do it, but remember they used to give away junior footy passes.
Absolutely.
Do they still do that?
I don't know.
I'm assuming they would.
We used to get them at school all the time. Mm-hmm. And you'd go and you'd get a free bin. With every kid that goes, you normally take mum and dad who do pay.
Yeah. I know, particularly in football, in soccer, we get a lot of texts over time about the cost of playing. And certainly something I think the governments can look at. According to a text, Junior Rugby League don't do the passes anymore. There you go.
That's a shame. I wonder why they stopped doing that.
Money.
What do you mean, money?
Well, kids are going to go pay now to get in.
Yeah, but you want as many
I'm just saying it.
That's to the game as you possibly can. And kids should be allowed to get in.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'll tell you where will be worth paying to get in this weekend, fellas. The Newcastle Rugby League, which obviously very strong competition, a lot of ex-NRL players playing up there, Blake Ferguson, amongst many others, they're doing a magic round to start their season. First game kicks off at 12, so the Newcastle number 2 sports ground, starting from midday. So the Newcastle Rugby League, all their top teams, just all
day. How many games for the day?
Oh, I have to check that loss.
There'll be 5 or 6? There'll be 12 teams, is it? 10, 12 teams in Newcastle?
There's 11.
11 teams. So there'll be
5 games.
Yeah, right.
Starting from midday, starting the Newcastle Rugby League competition. Maitland going for 3 in the row. The Pickers, they've won the last 2 grand finals pretty convincingly, but there's been a huge turnover of players across the
Who's Fergo playing for?
Curry, I'm pretty sure.
Do you reckon if there's 11 teams and 10 are playing, do you reckon the team with the bye is going to go there and get on the cans?
Most definitely. A few of them will.
Well, it's the obvious thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're actually researching your opponents.
That's exactly right.
Well, they're doing it in conjunction with like a craft beer day there as well. Oh, so there you go. And tickets are available. Anyone in the Hunter region or who wants to go there on Saturday, it'll be a great day. So from Saturday from midday, beerfootyfood.com, you can get your tickets.
I mean,
you can't forget
first.
That website. Beerfootyfood.com to get your tickets for Magic Round for Round 1 of the Newcastle Rugby League. Midday Saturday. Number
beer,
2 sports
footy, and then food. In that order.
Beer, footy, food.
Can we find out who has the bye and whether they're going to get on the cans?
Yeah, who's the captain
I'll tell you
coach?
What.
We'll find out the captain coach.
Texas will ring us.
We'll be able to work out whether they're going to go or not, I reckon.
Oh, they'll be there.
Coach will be there.
And they might be told, don't wear your polo shirts either.
We'll get Adam
Don't Debs. Say you play with us.
We'll get Adam Debsich from the Newcastle Rugby League on Friday morning to tell us all about it. But that's going to be a great day there on Saturday. Okay, great day, of course, at Royal Randwick coming up as well. And joining us, Brad Davidson. Very good morning, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are we?
Very well. This Queen Elizabeth Stakes. So, Via Sestina, $2.30. Barrier 5 of 11. What did you make of the draws there yesterday? And any particular winners or losers that stuck out for you?
Yeah, I think most of the fancy runners drew pretty well there yesterday, guys. Just touched on Via Sestina there. Barrier 5 is just about ideal for her because we know she gets back in the ruck a little bit. So that perfect draw is just going to allow her to probably settle in front of one or two. And we saw her, you know, how good she was in the lead-up at Rose Hill. And, you know, they absolutely crawled in that race and she still put a nice little gap on them. So clearly the one to beat, I think, come the Queen Elizabeth on the weekend. Just that little bit of sting out of the track will be ideal for her. And, we saw how impressive she was. And I think if she gets into a race with a bit more tempo, as she should there on the weekend with the likes of Pride of Jenny in the race, I think that's only going to play into her hands and she'd be awfully hard to hold out late. And there's some people suggesting Pride of Jenny's a good chance of turning the tables and just maybe, you know, 2,000 metres Randwick's never easy, but she adds a lot to the race, doesn't she? Rolling along out in front and proving hard to catch and ensuring that really strong tempo. So really looking forward to the Queen Elizabeth and I suppose the Oaks. I don't think these barrier draws are important with the Sydney Cups and the Oaks and races like that, because at the end of the day, you got a lot of time to build into the race and it really comes down to who's going to stay the trip the best. But barrier number 3 for Orchestral, I'm sure they'll be very happy with that. They can just give her a lovely run midfield and present at the right time. And, you know, she was only warming up at the end of the 2,000 metres at the Vinery the other day. I thought that was their chance to beat her. So after 2,400 metres, we saw how dominant she was in the New Zealand Derby. So awfully hard to beat there on the weekend. I'm sure Godolphin will fancy their chances, though, with Zardozzi, of course, saved to run in this race. I guess time will tell whether that was the right move. Of course, on Saturday morning, they thought they were dealing with a real bottomless track. But as it turned out, you know, it's probably a soft seven, heavy eight, really. So maybe if they had their time again, they would have gone around in the Derby instead of the Oaks. But time will tell. You know, she's still a terrific chance in that race, and they might have the last laugh there as well.
Yeah, I'm just reading a statement from the Kieran Maher racing team, Dave. Some sad news.
Yeah, Brave Mead, unfortunately, no longer with us there. Loz had a catastrophic injury there at track work yesterday, preparing for the Arrowfield three-year-old sprint this weekend, where he would have been one of the major fancies as well in the race. He won the Derby Munro, of course, last start, and he would have been right there close to the top of betting for that race. Still has shown plenty of promise, and it's always very sad news when we lose any horse. And he was a horse that many people knew and were following, and he was really progressive. So very sad news. Their thoughts were all involved, and yeah, unfortunately, no longer with us.
We've got midweek racing at Gosford today. How's the track looking there?
Yeah, not too bad. Look, genuine soft track is how I'd be playing it there at Gosford today. Rails out a little bit, but expecting a pretty good surface there today. And that looks a good midweek program, actually. Some promising horses stepping out, as is always at this time of the year with the stakes races in town. You're always getting genuine sort of Saturday class races at the midweek. So Gosford get their chance. And, I think the track will hold up pretty well after some rain. We copped it big time in Umina yesterday, but I don't think they copped as much as we did. So we know what these storms are like. They're pretty isolated. And, expecting a pretty good program, some nice horses heading around. And it's always a track I enjoy betting at.
What do you like?
I've gone Bullet High as the best there at Gosford today. I was really taken by this horse's run last time out for Joe Pride. I think he sets up a lot better today from the low draw, can kick up and be just behind the leaders. It looks a race with enough tempo for mine. And if he finishes off like he did last start, I thought it'd be really hard to hold out. So Bullet High, the best for me at Gosford today.
Okay, race four, number three, Bullet High. Jay Ford rides, Joe Pride trains, barrier three, $3.50. Currently with Tab. We'll look forward to getting all your mail for day two of the championships on Friday, Davo. Thank you.
Yeah, look forward to breaking it all down on Friday, guys, as we build to what's going to be a cracking day two of the championships.
Great stuff. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, guys.
On the text line here, good to see a bit of sledging going on in the Newcastle Rugby League ahead of round one magic round. Boys South Newcastle has the bye, and someone's pointed out Andrew Ryan is the coach.
Bobcats.
Yes, he is, of South Newcastle. And this text goes on to say, being predominantly from the Merriweather area, they will all be drinking latte, not beer, says Sledge. Craig, who says, go the Scorps. He's a Macquarie Scorpions person or fan. The boys from Merriweather have the bye and will be on the Cairns for sure, is another text there. Blake Ferguson's playing in that. Blake Austin is playing in that comp for the Entrance Tigers back from the UK.
Did you kill that
the
as
Entrance
well?
Entrance Tigers?
Yes, they're in that comp.
Are they?
Yes.
They're out of the Central Coast comp and into the Newcastle comp.
Correct.
Well, he'll kill it in that grade, wouldn't he?
You'd think
Captain
so.
Coach?
Don't think coach.
Right.
There's a text there, Meadow, saying the Entrance will be hard to beat this year with Blake Austin.
Very strong comp. Luke from Cessnock, up the goies. Yep, the go-winners.